Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Thank you, Cookie. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. And a welcome in to our listening audience on 910 AM and 105.1 FM, The Fan in Richmond, who will be with from 3 to 6 every single day. So we simulcast our broadcast in Richmond that you guys hear from 2 to 6:30 in and around D.C. And, of course, anytime you want to listen to the show anywhere, you can take us with you on the radio.com app and make sure you use the rewind function on radio.com if you miss anything. Danny, how about this note from Albert Breer within the last hour? I was wondering if we found out that Brandon Staley was getting the job with the Chargers as their new head coach, he was the D.C. for the Rams, if he was going to try to bring Kevin O'Connell with him. O'Connell, last year's offensive coordinator here in Washington, left to go out to L.A. to work with Sean McVay. And my thinking there was, when you work with McVay, while that cologne smells great on you and everybody wants you because you're friends with McVay and you work with him, you don't get to call plays and you're not quite as in charge of the offense as you might be other places. That's why Matt LaFleur left the Rams. His best buddy McVay went to Tennessee to be the offensive coordinator for a year, and then he got the Packers job. So I was thinking maybe O'Connell would leave the Rams, go to the Chargers. You get a year with Justin Herbert or a couple seasons with him, and if he thrives, you're a head coach somewhere else. Well, apparently the Rams and McVay have blocked Kevin O'Connell from leaving.
Wow.
After the Chargers tried to bring him in as their OC under their new head coach. So O'Connell's going to stay put in Los Angeles with Sean McVay for at least another season.
That's a bummer for O'Connell because, as you touched on, you get out from underneath, not underneath Sean McVay, but you know it's Sean McVay's offense, and it's hard to get some of the shine without being the guy that's in the headset calling the plays right there. So that would have been a nice chance for him to do that. Again, the LaFleur plan, as you kind of called it, right? You get to call plays, everyone likes you, you're a head coach, and you just win 80% of your games. No big deal.
Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Bring it back local to Washington football and to the GM search, which seems like it is ending where most of us thought it was going to. The moment that Marty Herney got fired by the Panthers, the jokes wrote themselves and everybody said, well, Ron Rivera's got his GM. You fast forward several months and a bunch of interviews over the last week, and Marty Herney, it sounds like, will be their general manager. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington joins us now. JP, how legit was the search? How legit were all those other interviews? I mean, they landed on the guy we all kind of thought they were going to before it all started.
It's a really good question, Grant. And I think one of the big unknowns here is what, if any, other announcements will come about other moves in the front office. And I think if there are other announcements, say somebody gets an assistant GM title or an executive vice president of football ops or something, and it's one of these other folks that interviewed, then I think we know they were legitimate. But I don't think anybody's surprised if Ron was going to Herney all along. I mean, I remember the day he was fired on the Zooms that day, we asked about Herney, and, you know, you've probably seen and heard the quote that's been going around. I mean, Ron spoke effusively about him in early December. So this isn't much of a surprise. I recognize it's an uninspiring hire, right? There's not going to be a parade for Marty Herney's arrival. But I do think in what was a pretty inexperienced front office and really kind of an understaffed front office, I think the Herney hire makes sense to Ron, and ultimately that's all that matters.
John Paul, you touched on it. That's my word for it, is uninspiring. I can't get around that. I can't get around his record. I can't get around how available he was to all 32 teams for a long time. And nobody really seemed that interested outside of the Carolina Panthers and now Ron Rivera 2.0 here. What is the exciting point? Like, let's say you're talking to a fan, blank slate. What's exciting about this? Why should a fan be into this?
If you were into what happened in 2020, I think the argument is just that that's a continuation of what happened. And I don't know that Herney's being brought here to showcase his talent evaluation. I think he's being brought here to run the operation better. And I think, I mean, Ron has talked at length about how much he's liked the drafts and free agency last season. I think by and large, you allow the forces that have done that to continue to operate. Obviously, the wrinkle in all of this could be what happens with Kyle Smith. And I think at this point, it wouldn't be a surprise at all if Kyle is gone. Maybe that doesn't happen until after the draft. Typically, like talent evaluators, there's two times where they change jobs. It's right now when the season ends or after the draft. And that's the one kind of big wave in all this, is what happens there. But I think there are some in the new in the Washington organization now that wonder if all the hype and excitement around Kyle Smith is rightfully deserved. And I think a lot of it is circumstances. It's not Kyle's fault that they were so awful before. It's certainly not entirely his fault, but he was still there when they were really bad. And I think, I know there are people inside the organization that don't understand the angst over not promoting him when the record the year before was 3-13 and 7-9 before that.
Yeah, but if I operated like that, Ron Rivera wouldn't have this job, JP. I mean, his track record, like, we could do that with every coach, right?
The only personnel guys that have a perfect record are the ones that haven't been given the opportunity to be a personnel guy yet.
Right, but my point is, like, the idea, like, Ryan Kerrigan's part of a losing team, and, like, we'll have callers call in and be like, they've never won with him, he's not any good, and it's the dumbest logic I've ever heard. So I'm sure that's the case, but we used to crush Bruce and some of the people in this organization when they didn't like when guys got their shine, and it feels like there's a little bit of that going on now, but they're not getting crushed, and I don't really know what the difference is other than it's not Bruce.
I don't think it's about shine. I think it's about...
Well, why would they be upset? Why would they be upset that people are giving credit to Kyle Smith for doing a good job?
I think it's the expectation that he gets an interview for the GM job.
They interviewed a guy that answers to him.
He's had 1 year of experience on the pro side of football. Like, everything up until the last 11 months had been college scouting.
How much different is scouting a linebacker at Memphis as opposed to a linebacker for the Panthers? I mean, isn't scouting? What about Eric Stokes? Like, Eric Stokes is answering to Kyle Smith. Why is he more qualified?
It's not all scouting, Grant. It's not all scouting. It's also the salary cap, dealing with all the agents, all the other ancillary administrative stuff that's required. And listen, I'm not, like, we've done this a few times now where I'm not defending the move. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's bad. I just think that some of the folks that are screaming that Kyle Smith should get this job are a little misguided also.
No, I totally agree. He's 36, and he's been promoted a couple times the last few years. I'm not saying – I guess we're having two conversations. I don't think necessarily he should get the job. If you're saying that – if you're not saying what I'm about to say, that it sounds like you are, then I'm misunderstanding. To me, it's a story that he didn't get an interview. They literally interviewed a guy that answers to him. Like, what I'm saying, tinfoil hat style, is something's not great between he and Ron, or for some reason Rivera doesn't feel about him like he does maybe some other people in the building. But to me, when you're interviewing one of the guys under him, and he was the de facto general manager all offseason, and you had this opening and he doesn't get an interview, like, that is a story. I just can't get past that, people acting like that's not a story. I don't understand that.
It's a story, certainly. I think there are plenty of people over there that would tell you he was not the de facto general manager this season.
So what was he doing? He was running meetings of scouting for veterans and college people. What is that?
Certainly, but if you look at what Ron's doing and what he said about wanting somebody with more experience, I think there are other factors that maybe you and I are unaware of. But like, there is certainly more to being a general manager of a franchise than running college scouting meetings, I would think. I don't know. But like, I don't think it takes a conspiracy theorist to suggest that something happened between Ron and Kyle and they don't seem to be on the same page.
Yeah, this is my point. I just – and everything you're saying is correct, but I guess what I would say is I don't think Chris Ballard is doing a whole lot of stuff other than watching tape. Like football people – a GM to me – and maybe Ron Rivera has just a completely different plan. But to me, a general manager is a talent evaluator. That Rodgers is going to do the salary cap. You got people who can go over rules with you like Eric Schaefer used to do. But maybe he wants a guy that's going to have a stack of papers on his desk, you know, doing paperwork. I have no idea.
I think all GMs have a talent evaluation background, certainly. And if they're not good at that, they don't make it, I don't believe, and they shouldn't. But I think there is more to the job than just grinding tape.
J.P. Finley, NBC Sports Washington, with this young Grant Nanny. So let's get to Kyle Smith specifically. What's his path now? Because I can fully understand him not being the general manager. A-OK, that's fine. There are a lot of good candidates. I don't know the Marty Herney's one, but whatever. Do you think there was a conversation? Hey, here's what we've got mapped out for you. Or is this just, we don't care if we lose him? Do you see a path forward for Kyle Smith here?
I don't know. I mean, think about Grant and I are yelling at each other about how this all shook out, right? Imagine how Kyle feels about this. Like, we're just two intermediaries here. I think I don't see a path forward here, honestly. And that's just me looking at the situation and the scenario. I don't know contractually when Kyle's contract is done. I also know they were undermanned this year. Think about it. Alex Santos was supposed to be there all year. He was part of the plan, and then the allegations came out, and he was fired. And Santos handled a ton of the interactions. Like, Alex's job was the guy that always had to land people for the practice squad and fill out those late roster spots when people start getting hurt and finding offensive linemen and all those things. I do think that there's components of running a professional franchise that Kyle just hasn't done yet, and it's not his fault. He's young and he's moved up really fast, but there are big functionalities that he hasn't performed. And I think that was a part of maybe why he didn't get the interview. I don't know. And I think going forward, I think he'll get snapped up in a second. I think it was no accident. Go back to when Washington played the Niners, whatever that was, like week 14, and Kyle Shanahan had to do a press conference with the DC media. He was asked about the job Ron has done. He spoke very highly of Ron, and then unsolicited, Kyle Shanahan started talking about Kyle Smith. I think if Kyle Smith became available, I think somewhere between LaFleur, McVay, and Shanahan, he'd get a job pretty darn quick. But I don't know that he'll become available. I don't know that maybe he doesn't. I highly doubt it, but who's to say he doesn't get a promotion out of this and get an assistant GM title? I'm not expecting that at all. But until we know for sure, and we can ask Ron, like, hey, what happened here? And eventually we can talk to Kyle and ask him what happened here. I just think it's a ton of kind of baseless speculation outside of what is obvious, that something didn't go right in this 1 year of working together.
And this is all I'm trying to say. And I hope you don't think I'm yelling at you. That's not my
opinion. Nobody's arguing with you about that. That's what I don't understand. I don't disagree.
It seems like I'm the only person that thinks it's weird that he didn't get interviewed. That's all.
You haven't looked at Twitter, because everyone in the world is screaming that.
I'm talking about in the local media. In the local media, everyone's like, well, it makes perfect sense. He's only 36 and blah, 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 blah. No, he did the closest thing to the GM job for this team. They had a successful season.
I don't think that's true. I don't think his job this season was what a GM does. I
agree, but what I said was he did the close. No one in the building was closer to being a GM this season than him.
No,
he was the highest ranking
person
in their personnel department. When they met about players, he ran the meeting.
I think Ron Rivera was the closest thing to a GM they had.
Okay, I'm talking about their personnel department.
Right, but like, that's a delineation that I don't think necessarily existed during the 2020 season.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means, but okay, we'll move along. The only thing I'm saying is I don't think he should have gotten the job. I can't believe people don't think it's weird he didn't get an interview. Last thing, and maybe this is where this all comes.
I think it's weird. I guess that's the crux of our disagreement. I agree with you. I understand that thought process. I'm just trying to say what I think happened out there, why he didn't get it.
Gotcha. The last thing is, and maybe this is where you know the initial like paradigm comes from. I get the coach-centric thing, right? We've heard about this from day one from Dan Snyder. Like, this is what we should be expecting. I come at this constantly asking the question, though, like, should we be okay with this? I mean, the Panthers were not that successful. And it seems like that's not – it's almost like two camps that have established themselves now where it's like, trust in Ron. You can't question anything. It's his process. Like, let him do his thing. Or the other side, which is like the bad guys, which is like, wait a second. Carolina had three winning seasons in the last 9 years or whatever it was. So to me, I just keep going, why are we in such a rush to get all of these dudes together? I'm not really sure what they accomplished other than 1 year where Cam Newton was the best player in the NFL.
I think it's an incredibly fair question. I don't have an answer to it, but I think – whether or not you agree with it, it's the plan for sure. And Rivera has been empowered to do these exact things. I guess some of my point is that I don't get the surprise and like the mock outrage. Like this is what we knew was coming. That's what I don't understand. But if you want to question, should this dude be able to do all these things? Certainly. But I mean, that question would only go to Dan Snyder. He's created this scenario. And I think the NFC East title almost waters down the argument because I don't think you should look at the 2020 season and be like, oh, they made the playoffs. This guy really knows what he's doing. Because they backed into the playoffs in a terrible division, and I think the playoff berth is more because Philly and Dallas fell apart than it is Washington just, you know, went out and stuck their claim, right? But I do think they showed dramatic improvement. And I do think a lot of it was coaching. And I think they developed young players. And I think that if you're looking for a reason, all right, I'm going to trust this dude, that to me is why. I mean, they more than doubled their win total. They were competitive. I mean, if they had a real quarterback, I'd be very curious what 2020 looks like. If they had one real quarterback for the season. And that's a giant if, and they'll have to try to solve that. But if you want my answer on why fans should trust or believe in this, I would point to the growth of the 2020 season in what was really impossible circumstances with more off-field nonsense than any football team really should ever have to deal with on top of the things everybody across the NFL was dealing with COVID and everything else.
JP, great conversation as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a great rest of your week.
All right, boys. Thank you very much.
We'll see you, dude.
JP Finley, NBC Sports Washington, does a great job covering the football team. Check him out there. You can react to that conversation if you'd like next. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. It sounds like Marty Herney is coming from Carolina to be the GM of the football team.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With his old buddy Ron Rivera. What I liked about Cookie Duck's update there was the pregnant pause before we found out that it was us. You're home in the afternoon.
That's right,
four.
Yeah.
And I was going, well, who? Who's in the afternoons?
You going to share that?
Gentlemen.
Yes.
It is your guy, right? So that update has to be a specific length. And I omitted a couple of sentences, and I realized I shouldn't have done that because I had gone too fast at one point.
So while
the whole point was, you know, the excited tease, and I did want to keep people on the edge of their seats, I think that there was a little too much anxiety, right? So I would, in the future, you know, there's anticipation, but not too much. So.
Are you right now watching the film on your update? You're critiquing your performance?
Breaking it all down.
Landfill
Plane
has
flight
the,
home.
He has the Telestrator out. He's showing me like the waveform of the audio file and circling the giant portions of dead air that I left.
Danny, he needs to go to quarterback camp with John Gruden on that update, doesn't he?
You got to, hey, look, watch something here. What are you seeing right now on a piece of paper? You write it down? Did you use your handwriting or did you type it out, man? I'm a typing guy. I like to type out my notes and come in and read them at the FFCA. I love it.
Knock on wood if you're with me. 800-636-1067 is the number on the AAA always on call listener lines. Let's get to the phones. So JP Finley just joined us, and we were talking about Marty Herney as the GM, and our conversation devolved into, you know, what they decided to do in terms of the interviewing process. I guess succinctly, my point is, I don't happen to think that Kyle Smith necessarily should be the general manager. It is just confounding to me that there's not more being said, written about, talked about how weird it is that the guy that's the closest thing in your front office to the GM this year didn't get an interview. And someone in the department who answers to him did. I think that that's odd. But we now have an answer, and it looks like it's going to be Marty Herney, which is fine. You got a guy who's immensely qualified and has been a GM multiple times, all in one organization. It was the Panthers either giving him the GM job or him doing a radio show like me and you, or then getting another chance with the Panthers. But he has been a GM for a long time. So we're getting your thoughts on another former Panther executive coming in to help run Washington with Ron Rivera. And if you want to touch on the rest of the process, you know, you can do that as well. I actually happen to think, Danny, that had they have hired Ryan Cowden from the Titans, I would have been thrilled. Vice president of player personnel from a winning organization that is trending up, where they have established a ton of talent, where they've got a culture and an identity, and they make the playoffs year in and year out. And a coach wasn't fired last year, and that he wasn't fired from his post last year. I could have really gotten behind that. JoJo Wooden, kind of similarly, maybe a little bit more young and experienced from what I can gather, but he joined the Chargers in 2013 and oversees their pro and their college departments, kind of like the Chargers' Kyle Smith. Similarly, I know they just blew out their head coach and they had a disappointing season, but that's a guy with a team that is talented, that makes the playoffs a lot, that seems to have a pretty strong culture. And you look at the players that they've established in that locker room, that could be a quick turnaround. People think that that could be a playoff team in the next year or two because they've got great players on defense. They hit on Justin Herbert, and they've got some good things going with a lot of personnel on offense. So, like, those interviews got me excited. I felt pretty good about that. Going back to the well on Herney doesn't quite butter the bread for me. I don't dislike it as much as you in the sense that I'm not sure if it matters that much. I think Rivera kind of wants someone he's comfortable with to do some administrative stuff. And we'll see. Maybe it does mean that they keep the personnel department the same, and perhaps Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith are golfing buddies, and everything's all hunky-dory, and those guys will just keep chopping wood together, picking players.
Well, as far as Kyle Smith goes, and again, I wrote about this because I think it's very interesting. And the big thing that happens, and my wife does this for her job. She oversees, she's basically in charge of, they call it human capital, but it's hiring, career tracking, development, onboarding, all that other kind of stuff, right? So you hire some 22-year-old kid. How do you maximize his time there? How do you give him a good track so that in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, he could still feel like he's growing? You give him more, you increase responsibility as you go, right? They have to make these decisions. And every company that's got more than one employee has to do this at some point. Where you go, this person might leave. What is the damage? Does that damage outweigh giving them $5,000 more? Does that damage outweigh increasing their responsibility? Does that damage outweigh allowing them to progress forward? It doesn't mean you give them the president and CEO job. It doesn't mean that you take some 36-year-old who's been with you for a couple of years and you make them in charge of the entire thing. It does mean, though, you've got to have a balance sheet. Here's the way it looks outside looking in. There's a lot we don't know about this, but here's the way it looks. They don't care if they lose him. Redskins fans, now Washington Football Team fans, and media, and folks that have been plugged in here, know how this looks. It's when an assistant coach takes a team to the NFC title game. It's when a guy that was in your building taking notes and getting coffee is now extended till 2027 with the Seattle Seahawks, one of the three best programs in all of sports. It's when Trent Baalke gets to a Super Bowl. You've seen how this looks. An executive, a person that's smart, sharp, young, up and coming, is here, is stunted because of this terrible hierarchy, this dumb culture, this incorrect way that they've done things for the entirety of Dan Snyder's ownership. And you go, hey, does anyone notice we got some of the same signs? Anybody noticing this? That this is exactly what happened before, and this guy's going to leave? It right now looks, and there's a lot we don't know. I want to make sure I'm very clear about that. We don't know what conversations may or may not have been had behind the scenes, but here's how it looks. We don't care if we lose this person. I care if they lose that person. I think you care if they lose that person. It doesn't seem like they do. That's why we're both kind of sounding the alarm bell, I think.
The comment that JP made, you want to talk alarm bells, that doesn't sit great for me, is when he says there are people with the team that have told him that they don't really understand why so many people give credit to or talk about Kyle Smith. Because that's loser culture, I'll be honest with you. Caring about why someone gets credit, that's Bruce and Scott McLuhan crap.
We remember
and I want
that,
it
don't
over
we?
With. I want that gone yesterday. Stop caring who gets credit. If people are saying good things about someone in your organization, that's a good thing. If we're not clubbing Bruce Allen, we're not clubbing Dan Snyder, we're not spending our time making fun of the fact that you're sub 500 again, and instead we're talking about some young executive, right or wrong, that had a great offseason, why does that bother someone? That shouldn't bother anybody.
Remember how this happened before, GP? It was with Scott McLuhan. And they went 9-7.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we went 9-7 and went 8-7-1 in 2 years. He got credit for beginning this turnaround. Here's the process, though. They were embarrassed. Remember, that's the Dan Snyder I'm embarrassed press conference. That's Bruce Allen at his nadir, at his absolute worst. So they had to go out and hire this guy that Seth Wickersham wrote a nice piece about on ESPN. He comes on our show. He does the media tour. He's on NBC Sports Washington. He's everywhere. They trot out the savior. And then, as they trot out the savior, telling us all, this is the difference. We have changed. This is the guy. He gets some credit because they introduced us to him as the savior. He's treated as the savior. And then people bristle. And by the way, they bristled for three games over 500 over 2 years, as if that's some sort of accomplishment. There are guys behind the scenes griping about that. Like, why does he get all the credit? I've been grinding away on my mediocre resume. Pound sand with that. You're 100% right. You use the phrase loser talk. That's what that is. That's a loser culture. That is a culture of losing, inadequacy, cover your ass when it goes bad, sprint to the light when things are mildly decent, hoping that somebody gives you praise. Nobody's done anything of note here. Nobody has
in
at this point.
Winning
Tell me
places,
more about 7-9 in the worst division in sports history. Tell me
in
more.
In winning cultures, in winning organizations, and I'm not just talking about sports, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. We're all in the thing together. At the Great American Restaurants, which is one of my favorite restaurant groups on the planet, they do their team service bit, where I can't even jiggle my ice cubes before someone's refilling my iced tea. And it's never my waitress or waiter. It's just some person walking by the table. You think they're all sitting there at the end of the night going, I refilled his drink twice, so I'll get 42 cents. No. And the fact that someone would be bothered by that is ridiculous. It just, period. It's ridiculous. Positive press about your team is good, not bad, every single time. But regardless of that, again, getting the job or not, it's the interview part of it. It tells me something is amiss, and if we spent the year assuming that this guy's pretty good, which is what we did, are we just going to touch a button now and say, okay, well, if Ron Rivera doesn't love him, then maybe he's not. No. Like, I'm still approaching this, and this is maybe different, right? Maybe this is where JP and I go back and forth, or some of our listeners might bristle, and that's fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. I'm approaching every move still as I'm going to question this. They went 7-9 with a weak schedule where they probably should have gone 7-9. I'm happy about a lot of things. I think Ron Rivera did a good job this season. I think they made major strides this season. I think they're in a really good spot compared to a calendar year ago. I feel very positive and good about the momentum. But they probably should have won 8 games this year, frankly. When you look at some of their losses and how weak their schedule was and how terrible their division was and the talent that they have on this team, much of which has been assembled by the staff that just got overlooked. And so I still, every time they hire another Panthers person, maybe I'm in the wrong here. I go, what was so great about the Panthers? What am I missing here? You guys probably had a lot of fun. And maybe on set making that movie, everybody was cutting up into a shtick, so we're all going to get together, and Adam Sandler's buddies are all going to do the movie every single summer.
Yeah, we don't need Grown Ups 3, guys. We're good.
But the movies weren't that good, and it just doesn't seem like anybody cares about that. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant. It's amazing what you can accomplish.
Executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But you don't care who gets the credit. The 33rd president of the United States, Harry S. Truman. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's go to the phones. Your thoughts on the hiring of Marty Herney as general manager of Washington Football. I still want to point out, until it's official, the team has not acknowledged or made it a done deal yet. This is all reported, but it's several outlets and a bunch of reporters all saying this is going to happen. Let's go to Dominic in Ohio, Baker Mayfield country. What's up, Dominic? How are you?
Dominic.
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking the call. It's been a while since I've been able to call in. So, Grant, congratulations on the new president. And, guys, congratulations on the new time slot.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
For an extra half hour a day. Of course. So, first, I want to say I am the least bit happy, like just the tiniest morsel happy that we can answer Danny's final question of when someone calls Redskins Park or Washington or in Ashburn and they ask for the GM, someone is actually going to sit in that chair. That makes me the tiniest bit happy. So I'm thankful for that. But the thing that I am just I feel ill about is going back to the Haskins draft night. There was a story that was reported that Kyle stood up to Dan Snyder and said, this is a dumb move. We shouldn't do this. And I think that sealed Kyle's fate. He was never going to progress. Dan was never going to give him an ounce of power. And it seems like that is kind of how this is going. And it's almost they're exemplifying it by taking one of his subordinates and giving him the interview as well. The thing that bothers me the most is that Ron seems sort of okay with this in that he's not challenging this at all and saying, all right, that's fine. I won't hire this kid. He can stay in his room until his contract's up and then we'll release him. I have no problem. I have no attachment to it. That's the thing that bothers me the most is that this seems like an old power play move that Snyder's just vindictive about it and that gives me a gut feeling that I don't care for.
Appreciate the call. By him not getting an interview, it opens up the door to all the tinfoil hat theories like that one. And I'm not knocking the call. Your guess as to what went wrong is as good as mine. I guess my point is we're allowed to say something went wrong. We're allowed to assume that that relationship is not perfect because someone in the department got an interview and it wasn't the highest ranking person in the department. And on every show like this one that's plugged in and in any story where they write about the front office this year, you know, if you're looking for a face or a name for the scouting department, Kyle Smith's name, you know, he gets the credit, he gets the blame on that draft, on free agency. When you miss on a player, and they missed on a couple, that's on you that Cody Latimer was a failure. When you hit on a player like Wes Schweitzer, and we could go through 10 names, that's on you, whether that's fair or not. Let's go to Charles in Waterloo. Charles, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up? Up, oh, Charles is no longer there. So let's go to Abraham in Silver Spring on G&D. Abraham, how are you?
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
So I thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to say that, number one, even if you don't understand why they're hiring all these people, but they're building around Ron Rivera's success in Carolina. And this method of building a team, the front office, worked for the Bills, who have Sean McDermott and all their other front office people all from the same team. I don't remember which team. You guys could probably remind me.
Say it again?
Meaning where did all McDermott's boys come from?
Yeah, all McDermott's people.
Carolina.
So they're also from Carolina. And the reason that worked for the Bills is because they were able to get a quarterback and a wide receiver, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, to be players for them. And in Washington, even with all the coaches, and we have Terry McLaurin and some receivers, but I'm saying we don't have the quarterback yet, so that method could work for us if we draft a good quarterback one day.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah, I mean, if you bring in Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, then I like their chances to go on a playoff run, regardless of who's here. Yeah, I'm not saying it can't work that they bring in a bunch of people from Carolina where they were very average. I think it could work.
Right. I mean, we always talk about the process, right? Yeah, if you hit on Tre'Davious White and a couple offensive linemen and Brian Daboll's a genius and it all works out for you, of course you can have former Carolina Panther employees and be successful. What we talk about on this show an awful lot is the process. Sometimes you can drive drunk and get home safe. That's a bad process, though. Doesn't mean you should drive drunk. My point is you do things the right way and you have the highest shooting percentage of getting it right, ultimately, right? So to me, hiring your buddies from a group that's basically a few games under 500 over the last handful of years is not the most inspiring thing. Does that mean it can't work? Of course not. Of course it doesn't mean it can't work. If they somehow end up with a guy at 19 that, for the sake of argument, ends up being that quarterback story, right? How Kansas City ends up finding Pat Mahomes after several guys went, and then it's the story that we talk about for the next 15 years, and we go, see, the smartest thing to do is hire guys from Carolina that time. Not necessarily. Of course, if you get a couple things right, it can definitely break your way, but That's what we talk about here, is chopping wood in the most consistent possible way to get the best result.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dable, but I mean, they don't. To my knowledge, they don't have a dozen former Panthers coaches on that staff. I don't know if the numbers would allow for all of Washington's staff and all of Buffalo's staff to have been Rivera's guys from those teams. So my guess is they diversified the hires maybe just a little bit more. Let's go to Hassan in Crofton on G&D. What's up, Hassan? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? Congrats on the
good
new
pal, what's up?
Thanks, Thank you, buddy.
Hey, so the thing that's blowing my mind right now is that for years and years we've preached all the leaks are coming out, all the leaks are coming out. We haven't heard anything about Kyle Smith. All we're doing is assuming that he's not a part of this picture. If he isn't a part of the picture, which is very well possible, and I could be wrong on this, then, it is what it is. The fact is that we don't have leaks coming out, and you got to be happy about that. Ron Rivera has a plan, and he's shown that he's going to give us an explanation on everything he does.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? When you say leaks Absolutely. Coming out, do you mean about this process? Because Ian Rappaport and you know, there have been we've known who they were interviewing every step of the way. I mean, in terms of the season, Dwayne Haskins doing this wrong and that wrong, and he walked the wrong way one time. And we found out everything. What do you mean we don't have any leaks?
Rappaport. So Rappaport clearly has someone there. What I'm talking about leaks is in regards to Kyle Smith. Kyle Smith hasn't said a thing about this. So if he was upset, you would think that something would have come out. Nothing's come out. The only thing's coming out is what I think Rivera wants to come out, the things that are going to Rappaport. That's what I think.
Gotcha. So but that's interesting. I mean, look, you're right. He could very well feel comfortable in his post. All I can do is kind of approach this from my own perspective. And if I was a bartender and I'd been tending bar at a bar for a couple of years, in his case, 11. But let's just say I got to be the acting bar manager for a few months and the reviews were really good. The people that came into the restaurant and the bar all said, I like what you guys are doing, or this has been a lot of fun. This is really cool. Like, this is a great thing. I feel good about that. I feel good about my opportunity. If they didn't even ask me to interview and then they went and hired someone, Danny, I would be annoyed by that.
Well, but I want to go back to even a couple calls ago. There was Dominic who mentioned this. The idea that this is now a strike back against him, that it's vindictive. And it kind of combines with our last caller saying there aren't leaks. I would disagree with that. I mean, this is the same calendar year that Dan Snyder, in open court, is accusing his business partners of extorting him. So nothing to me is crazy. Nothing that we're mentioning now in terms of theories is crazier than that. A story that doesn't make Dan Snyder look very good, he's got access to the internet just like everybody else does. And somebody let the world know that the football people, and this is most specifically Kyle Smith, who quote-unquote left the room or wasn't excited about this or was texting Jay Gruden, the guy that's no longer here, by the way, hey, this is a mistake, depends on what report that you read, didn't make Dan Snyder look very good, didn't make Kyle Smith look very good. Is it crazy to say, hey, this may be something. There may be something to this. And he'll, you know, his contract will expire and he'll go somewhere else. And if somebody else wants him, so be it. But, yeah, he's not advancing here. Who knows? That's not anywhere near as crazy as the owner accusing the minority owner of extorting him and some of the different lawsuits that are going back and forth.
Yeah, and for me, I don't want to shape the calls or tell you what to call in about, 800-636-1067, as we continue here. I care more about Herney getting the job than Smith not getting the job. Like, that is whatever it is. I'm not overly concerned. I think that it was weird that he didn't get an interview, and it tells me something is amiss there. But Herney's going to be the GM. And to me, that's the story, and that's what matters. And that's kind of where I want to invest time and energy is, what do we think of that hire? What kind of GM is he going to be? What does his track record tell us? The Beltway Blitz is next. We'll start it off with Rick Snyder, who I believe knows Marty Herney pretty well. He used to write at the Washington Times many, many years ago, the paper that Snyder Marks was at forever. We'll talk to him as part of our Blitz. Three teams in one segment next.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.